get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a podcast where Molly and I break down a Hallmark Christmas movie.
And today it's a classic. Maybe my favorite. A Very Merry Mix-Up from 2013.
It's a good one. I don't know if it reaches quite the levels of A Christmas Land, but one, two, for sure. This is a classic.
I prefer Very Merry Mix-Up, and stars Alicia Witt, who's a perennial Hallmark movie favorite.
It was good to see her again.
Ben Folds' girlfriend in real life. She often sings, she doesn't sing in this one, but she's a musician too, and often like sings the original songs.
She occasionally comes to a city winery and I always want to go.
I bet there, you wouldn't be the only Hallmark movie fan there. It's from 2013. And I was thinking the whole time, like, they just don't make them like they used to. They make too many now. They're not as crammed full of amazingness as this one. They're making too many, and it makes me wonder, how many did they make in 2013? Like 10, and now they're making 40. They just can't be as good.
And I know there are some funny things about this one, and as we'll discuss,
there's some bad stuff in it for sure.
But by the end I was like, oh, I felt warm inside. I was like, that was a very satisfying watch.
Well, there's some really clear like heroes and villains in this one.
So what happens in this one?
So we're in New York, and she has a store. It's a junk shop. It's terrible.
It's not a vintage antique shop.
I mean, maybe, but it's just weird. It's like just full of stuff. It's like not curated at all. You've been to weird places like this where how does this exist? Yeah. But usually those places are, you're driving through like a small town in Indiana and you stop. This is in the middle of New York.
Yeah.
23rd Street. We're not exactly sure. Yeah. Is this Soho? Is this Brooklyn? Yeah. Where are we?
It's an expensive piece of property that she owns.
So this is her father's store. So maybe, you know, like he owned the building, so she doesn't really have to sell that. You know, she's
not making a lot of money. I think she's just making enough money to sustain herself.
Yeah. It's not like she's paying super exorbitant rent. Like every, like everyone. So I'm picturing this on like a block where everything is either a big, like a chain store or a very high end posh store. Mm-hmm. And then this like yellowed,
it looked yellowed.
Junk store. The crazy manic woman that owns it is still the holdout. So developers are very hungry for this space. Mm-hmm. One developer in particular wants to buy the whole block and put condos up, of course.
Yeah.
The dreaded condos. So her city boyfriend brings her a fake tree for the shop. She's like, you know, appreciative, but it's all a little too perfect for her. She likes things to be a bit rough around the edges. Yep. Who doesn't? And he's looking through some stuff and he's kind of trying to clean it up, and she's just like very attention deficit disorder or something. Like she's always like moving on to something else. And he points out a clock, and a lot of time is spent on this clock. It's so ugly, but it looks like it's made by the same person that's been doing all these bad paintings in the movies, though,
it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I want to know who this person is. And there's like a bunch of fairy tale blah, blah, blah about it. The clock stuff in this movie is really boring to me.
She starts telling this long love story about the history of this clock.
Yeah. All right. We know some good stuff is coming. Let's move it along to that.
I went back and rewatched the story because I felt like this is probably an important component to the movie where I should probably know a little bit about this story, but I was totally uninterested even the second time. I was like, I can't get through this dumb story.
I've watched this one a bunch of times, and every time the clock comes up, I'm just like, oh, enough of the clock already. Who cares?
Right from the start, though, I hate this guy.
Yeah. He has to leave because he has to go play squash.
Yeah. Right there. Squash.
He's so gross. He's like a real estate developer, too. But they have no, like, it comes out that they met on something like Match.com.
Mates.com.
But why are they together?
75% compatibility is what she said.
There's nothing compatible about them.
Yeah, he brings in the fake tree. You can tell that she doesn't like it. She's really getting into this heartfelt story about the clock and the clockmaker and a love story. And
was he bored?
he was about as interested as we were. He was putting items in the store in perfect spots. He wasn't even paying attention mm-hmm. to her.
But he brings up that talking about selling the store, that really she should look at these proposals and these offers and think about selling yeah. the store. Because she's not, like, she doesn't have any customers. And
when they see this clock... The clock evidently is worth a lot of money, and she's like, I don't think I could sell it. I'm yeah. like, what kind of shim-sham operation are you running here? This is what you're supposed to do?
She's foster failing the clock.
Yeah.
So he's got to go up and play squash, but they're going to meet up later for dinner. So they meet up at this, like, Nouvelle Cuisine restaurant in New York. This is totally what people think that New York is like who've yeah. never been to New York. And they sit, like, in the middle, and he orders the tofu. He tells her to order the tofu. We play tofu.
It's very hot right now.
And he talks about how he sold something or closed something that day for $200,000 over the asking price. That seems like crazy.
They want to establish that he's a good businessman. Yeah. Alice Chapman is Alicia Witt, and Will Mitchum.
Yeah.
Will Mitchum is her business boyfriend.
So they're sitting kind of in the middle of the restaurant, and he's like, I have something I want to tell you, and he makes her sort of like move over into some light, and he's making a big show about it, and he stands up in front of the whole restaurant and he proposes to her, and she's very embarrassed
as well she should
be. So I do like that they're recognizing that like ridiculous over the top proposals are just embarrassing.
A guy that plays squash is also the kind of guy that wants to do an engagement in front of a restaurant of strangers.
It's more about the show than anything
else. More about him.
So he puts the ring on her finger and it's way too big. See, he just doesn't know her.
Yeah. She says yes reluctantly. I think she's embarrassed.
Yeah. And she's just, again, she's just kind of like manic. Like, she's like, okay, yeah. She just sort of, there's lots of talking.
Yes.
And he invites her to go to his parents for Christmas. So her dad has passed away and her mom lives in Florida. So she doesn't really have family. Or she doesn't want to be in Florida at Christmas because she wants things to be snowy and Christmassy. Just, I want to go warm places at Christmas and you want to go cold places where it's snowy.
I do want to go to cold places.
I'm fine with sacrificing that.
Let's go to the Keys for Christmas. No. I want to feel winter. I want to feel Christmas.
So the next day they're going to head to his family. They're on their way to the airport. And yeah, she's just like, it's just diarrhea of the mouth. Like her talking about the Christmas traditions. About all the things they're, the cookies they're going to make.
And she's like, decorations, and
they probably already got a tree. Again, it's like two days before Christmas. They probably got a tree, but maybe we can decorate it. And can we make Christmas cookies? Like, my mom is macrobiotic. we'll get to the mom later. So he's establishing what his family is like. They're not traditional. They're not lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
There's no charm. Yeah, they're very uptight. He gets a phone call about some business, closing some deal. And he's like, some properties had trouble selling. So he says, you go on to the airport. I'll get on the next flight. I've got to take care of this.
She hasn't met the parents yet, so she doesn't know. And he sends her on her way and puts
the address in her phone
and go there.
Yeah.
The Beresford Airport. Where is Beresford?
I don't know.
It's somewhere far away from New York City where you have to take a plane. But it's close enough where they talk about going to the city, which is right outside.
So like Connecticut
but they're taking a plane there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't quite figure out where the Beresford Airport was, but that's where they're going, to Beresford.
She's landed and they've lost her luggage. And then there's another guy there who's lost his luggage. So this is Matt, and he's played by this guy named Mark Wiebe, which I looked him up. To me, he's like Canadian Frankenstein.
He has a weird face. Sunken in jaw.
Well, he's very like, I feel like he is very sort of like, he looks kind of tough and really muscular, and like his face is chiseled in that way. But there's like a weird...
He has a rectangular head.
He's like kind of a little wimpy person within a big person's body. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like his manner doesn't match his body. It's like when a big guy has like a tiny voice, like high voice like that. So he's upset they've lost his luggage because there's some clock or something he's made. Something that he's made, and it's like it can't be replaced. And so they're both like filling out the paperwork, and he accidentally spills her coffee, but she's drinking her coffee. This is something that they, not only do you see in Hallmark movies, but also it's always on Gilmore Girls where they're drinking coffee and there's nothing in the cup, the way she's holding it and drinking it. But then he hits her and suddenly there's something in her cup and it spills all down her and gets her phone wet.
She's mad because, you know, she's meeting the in-laws for the first time and the luggage is lost. So this is her only set of clothes is what she's wearing. So she's freaking out.
Yeah. She's not going to make a good impression. Then the other bad thing is that the address is in her phone and she can't access that. So she uses Matt's phone to call Will to get the address, but he's not answering.
He's doing business.
So when she calls Will, Matt overhears her say something about Will Mitchum, and he's like, oh, my brother's name is Billy. Mitchum. It's not the same name.
It's not the same name.
We could have ended the mix-up right here.
She was like, I guess the future Mrs. Will Mitchum is, and he hears Will, and he's like, my brother's name is Billy. That's two different names.
Here's another mix-up. I was trying to look this guy up. And
Don Beebe or whatever.
Mark Wiebe.
Mark Wiebe.
When you Google him, like, or when you Google this movie, the cast comes up and it's Alicia Witt and then Mark Wiebe, but it's not this guy. There's a golfer named Mark Wiebe and he's
in there?
Like, there's like a row of faces and links to their like Wikipedia pages, but it's the golfer. It's not this guy. Very fitting.
I had a lot of trouble when she said Will Mitchum. He's like, my brother's name is Billy.
We've
like,
never called him Will. His name is Billy. And they just go along with it. So he's like, I'll take you to my parents' house. That's where I'm going.
Billy never told me he had a fiance. Let's start raising some red flags. But they don't. They just push on.
And she says, Will never told me that he had a brother.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your help. I appreciate it. We'll see you later. Done.
So they get in his car and head to the parents' house, and they're talking in the car, and she shows him her engagement ring, and when she does, the ring, because it's too big, falls off. He reaches down the floorboard to get it, smack right into a tree.
Yeah.
Big accident.
Yeah.
So they end up in the hospital with head injuries, and she's still trying to get in touch with Will. She still can't reach him. Even the hospital calls him, and he doesn't get that message.
Yeah, there was
either.
A moment where he's doing business and he sees that there's a message and he starts to listen to it and it's like, hello, this is Dr. from the hospital, and he shuts it off because he sees a business acquaintance or something in the bar that he's at. It's like, you hear a call from a doctor and you're gonna hang up right away.
So there's Matt's parents, maybe her in-laws, show up at the hospital, and Matt introduces Alice as Billy's fiance, and they are like totally shocked. They didn't, you know.
Billy never said he had a fiance.
Well,
or
even
a girlfriend,
because this was going to be a surprise. They were going to tell them it was going to be a surprise at Christmas that they were getting married. Doctor's orders, no sleeping for 24 hours, just in case they have a concussion.
And during the hospital stay, they're up kind of talking to each other, and this is where Matt talks about how he had been engaged and he knew that it just wasn't the right fit because some story about she didn't walk in the rain for him because he needed to do something. And then he was like, you know, love walks through the rain for you. What? So he's been in a relationship that is now over.
Yeah.
By telling this story, it was kind of his folksy charm.
Yeah, what he values.
What he values,
Canadian Frankenstein. So the mom is very into Christmas, and I like the parents in this one. It's really nice to not have like judgy Christmas parents. They're just like very like warm and welcoming and bring her into their house, which is super decorated, though they're just getting the tree the next day and cutting the tree down the next day, 2 days before Christmas. And so we see Will is still in Chicago. He was supposed to get on that next plane, but he didn't. He's having smarmy drinks.
Right.
And talking about condos. And like the technology is very dated, like 2013, but it's like the phones look really
old Blackberry looking type of phones.
Yeah. It looks like you're watching like a Seinfeld episode or something.
Yeah. Another moment where they're in the hospital and the mom, they're talking about Christmas, and Alice talks about making Christmas cookies, and she says, "Oh, and I know you're macrobiotic."
Yeah, And the mom's like, what are you talking about?
I don't even know what that is.
But Alice is too busy thinking about the next thing she's going to say. She's not paying any attention to it.
So right there, another red flag. This Will has told her that his mom is macrobiotic. This woman, this stranger doesn't know.
Alice is just walking through life very blindly, I feel, to a lot of things.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was annoying.
She's just kind of going, she just like gets up every day's a new day.
Yeah. Yeah, so Will, yeah, he was supposed to come on the next flight and meet her, but then he's celebrating his deal. Yeah. Celebrate after the holidays. Get to your fiance.
He's so gross. Yeah. Like the people, like where he's hanging out.
That
like
looked like the worst.
River
bug.
North. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've got to stay up all night. So they're entertaining themselves, and the mom is making sure that they don't go to sleep. And one thing they do to entertain themselves is go on a cookie mission. They go and make cookies in the dark in the kitchen and throw flour on each other. And I get so uncomfortable when there's like a flour like fight, because it's just such a mess to clean up.
It
and
is,
that, like,
yeah.
It's everywhere. I'm just like, you don't have to do this. This is ridiculous. This is stupid.
And they were doing it in the dark. And thankfully, because they didn't want to wake anybody up, thankfully, the mom comes down to call them out to say, why don't you just turn on the lights? It's not going to bother anybody that the lights are on.
So they make like cut out sugar cookies, and they're decorating them with icing. And she's just like glop. She's just squeezing the icing on. There's no like decorating going on. And then she starts to eat it, and she's so messy. It's not cute.
Yeah.
She's so messy eating these. She's got like frosting all over her face. She just puts it in her mouth and just lets part of it fall.
Yeah.
Like if you're holding something and you bite into it, you hold the remainder
right,
of it.
Yeah.
She just lets it all fall.
And I think that's the way she really eats. When I saw her drop the cookie out of her mouth, it felt like that wasn't in the script, but that just happened. They're like, let's keep it. We got to keep this thing rolling. Like no stopping for the drop cookie. And then she's like, oh, I dropped the cookie.
Yeah. So they're bonding over this time. That they have to stay up, and they find out that they seem to be into the same things. Like he makes furniture, and he knows about antiques, and so they find out that they have a lot in common.
And he has a master's in finance.
Oh yeah,
but he makes furniture.
How's he paying off those student loans?
But why?
Why just, would you get a master's? Like,
why not just be? Why do they have to say like, oh, that he was a successful finance master's guy?
Yeah.
Why can't he just be a furniture maker?
Yeah, yeah, that's an unnecessary.
Yeah.
Like you could. We don't need that.
Furniture.
No, you rejected that life.
The reason why they did that was because Will Mitchum probably has a master's in finance as well or something.
I think we can figure out that they're different. That they're opposites.
Yeah.
They do ultimately fall asleep, and they wake up like not in each other's arms, but together. And then it's time for the tree. And Grandpa shows up. He's also during the night. We've learned about Grandpa, and they look at photo albums, and like the first one they look at is of the grandparents, and like on their wedding day. And Matt says, "Is she a fox?" about his grandmother. I thought that was kind of weird.
You wouldn't say that about your grandfather?
That he was a fox? No, it's weird.
Handsome.
Yeah, but Fox is like, I don't know.
Kind of sexy or something.
You could say beautiful,
yeah,
I think.
Fox is,
it's too sexy. Yeah. So they had a great love affair, and Grandpa remembers like the moment that they met, and yeah, the grandmother was amazing.
Since we have the photo albums out, why don't we look through them to see what the brothers...
Yes, that's a good point, because
what the brothers look like.
Well, there is a photo... Okay, so one of my favorite things about this movie is that there's a photo in the kitchen of the boys. Yeah, because there's no other photos out. This family would have a lot of photos.
Yeah, this is a family that would have a...
That's a good point.
They celebrate family.
Yeah.
They would have a lot of photos out of this family.
And they wake up in the morning with all the, like, tons of photo albums, like, splayed open.
Yeah.
That's a really, I didn't think about that, but that's a really good point. I was too distracted by this. So there's a photo of them as like an Olin Mills, is that a thing?
Yeah.
A photo of them as, I wasn't sure if that was just a Lubbock thing or everywhere thing, of the two little boys. And she's like, is this must be Will. And he's like, no, that's me. And this is Billy. They have this photo up twice in the kitchen. Yeah. It's not pointed out. It's just something that I've noticed over watching this.
The same photo in two different spots.
One is hanging on the wall, and the other is just a frame on the frame on the counter. Yeah, the same exact photo is up twice.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Is it just an Easter egg put in there for people like me who watch this
great,
a bunch of times?
I enjoy that every time we watch this.
You know, someone was talking to us, our friend Kirsten, who's a big fan of Hallmark movies as well. We were talking about Alicia Witt movies, and she brought up the Clock one, and I had totally forgot that Mary Mix-Up is also the Clock one. I thought they were two separate movies.
Yeah.
I just know Mary Mix-Up as being the one with the photo in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
So Grandpa shows up with the tree, and he's got an embarrassing like Rudolph red nose on. So does the dad. They all put like these Rudolph noses on. Ha ha. Whatever. It's dorky.
Yeah.
And they start to decorate the tree, and Grandpa's putting the ornaments on, and Matt says something about, like, I mean, I think it's cute that he loves his grandfather so much and that the grandfather's involved. I really like that. However, Matt says, Grandpa's got a story for every ornament on the tree, and he can tell them to you. And I was just like, oh, God, we have to sit through.
Grandpa has a lot of
every
stories.
Every ornament story.
Something about egg salad. I think that was how he met the grandmother.
So Will's still in New York. He's in, like, a limo, and he finally listens to the message from the doctor and finds out they've been in the hospital, that she's been in the hospital and something's wrong. So he's still doing some deals or something.
Yeah, he's working on business.
Well, he's been talking to the developer who wants to buy her store. So that's the business he's been sticking around for now. So he decides, oh, I got to get to, what's the place?
Beresford.
Beresford.
Yeah.
He's got to rush to Beresford.
And to his credit, he was like, turn this car around. We got to go to the airport, which I was actually kind of surprised
because
he doesn't seem like the type that would do that. He would just say,
money.
She's alive.
Take care of her.
So
now we're back at the Mitchum's house, and Alice is talking to Matt about the struggles of owning her store.
The struggle when you don't want to sell anything. So you're not going to make any money.
Right. And then the mom comes in and says, it's time to play Christmas Messages, which is a game that her grandfather had invented. And so everyone gets like some scraps of paper and you write it's just like ego boosters. You write things on, I guess it's nice, but you write that what you think about that person on pieces of paper, and then you put them in their cup and it's all anonymous.
Yeah.
You have to guess
who said about you. Yeah. Which I feel is a lot of pressure for Alice, who,
because she's new.
She has just met these people. She's only been around for a day, so it's really hard to get the personalities of everybody. So what do I say about the dad?
But I think that's the point, is that they've known right from the beginning she's meant to be with
this
family.
Them. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And they've like clicked right away. So we get to hear everything's like sweet that they say and endearing. And this is interrupted, though, by a knock on the door, or you hear somebody coming in, and she's like, oh, it's Will. He's coming, because he's, you know, rushing there now. But somebody is coming in the door. She jumps on him, and he's like, oh, who is this? Because this is Billy Mitchum, who is not Will Mitchum. Surprise,
again,
surprise.
Two different names.
He's like, who are you? Nobody really seems, like, they all seem to not really know who Billy is, though.
Billy seems like a schlub.
Yeah. But she's mortified.
Yeah.
And the family is really nice about it, and they're sad because they wanted her to be part of their family, but she just feels horrible about it.
So she jumps on who she thinks is Will, and it's Billy, and she's mortified that she realized what kind of a mistake that she's made, and this is not who the family that she's supposed to be with. The grandpa sums it up all perfectly when he says, this is weird.
It is weird. She's been staying at these strangers' house. It's very weird. So Will comes and picks her up, and he doesn't have much time for dilly-dallying. Like, she wants to say her goodbyes and be sentimental, and he's ready to, all right, let's pack this up.
Yeah.
He offers them money. It's so insulting.
Yeah.
And he's just like, couldn't believe that she would think that he would live in this this house.
Yeah, which is, it was
like a cute bungalow.
Perfectly nice house. Yeah.
So Matt kind of slinks away, but she goes to find him to say goodbye and hands him her Christmas message that he hadn't read yet that says, you make me laugh. She's her sad, tearful goodbyes, and then she goes with Will.
So the real Will comes to pick up Alice, and Matt is crushed that all this is happening. He, you know, really is fond of Alice.
Matt's sad.
And Canadian Frankenstein is sad. But then he just asks, do you mind if I can still come over at Christmas? Or do you want to still spend time with our family at Christmas? It was weird.
The whole thing is weird.
Stranger. Do you mind if I still come over at Christmas?
So they go to Will's parents' house, which is very like stark and kind of fancy and looks like brand new. I mean, it's where he grew up, but it looks super new.
Do you still call things McMansions
anymore? It's a McMansion.
Yeah.
And we meet his mom, who is very like metaphysical. Mm-hmm. She talks about like she covers all the things. Chakra cleansing, green juice. Yeah.
He calls her mother.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a very, not warm.
Formal.
And it's a proper greeting.
She reminds me of Iris McKay. Do you know who I'm talking about? Dylan's mom on 90210. And where she's like fancy, but also
kind of
spiritual.
Yeah.
Like woo woo stuff. Yeah.
She studied under a guru.
Yeah.
That known.
But she's also like not warm and welcoming, whereas you would think maybe somebody like that would be like all about like love and understanding, but she's not.
Like
she's still just kind of like a real housewife.
Yeah.
And we meet the dad, who's like Mr. Toxic Masculinity, which Will's just a chip off the old block. But this is, the dad is so Me Too-y. Like throughout the whole thing, he's just like, he's just like squeezing her when they hug. He's like this short little guy.
Stocky, short, stocky guy. Yeah.
And he's just like always like kind of hitting on her and talking about how pretty she is. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this would not fly in 2000. It shouldn't have been okay in 2013, but no, it's would not be okay in 2018. Yeah, he's just, he's super Me Too dad. So Will takes her to his childhood bedroom and shows her his first sales trophy that he got when he was a wee below or something, or Cub Scout.
Yeah.
So we see this is what he values
early on.
Yeah. And he talks to her again about selling her store, and he's just a real jerk to her about it, and she's upset and doesn't want to be around him.
Yeah, she goes to the bathroom, and I noticed she was still wearing the Mitchum.
Yes, yes.
The Mitchum sweatshirt from
the old
Mitchum family.
She didn't give that back. And she's having trouble sleeping. She's laying in bed, and there's like a flashlight light on her ceiling, and it's Matt is outside, like shining the flashlight in her window. And he's like, she's like, "How did you find me?" He's like, "Oh, I followed you." And like the police were like questioning what he was doing, being like a peeping Tom.
Yeah, I thought that was. I know that he's in love with her, and you know, when you're in love, you do a lot of crazy things. But to show up at the fiance's house and creepily shine a flashlight. And how does he know which window it is? It's a huge house. How does he know what the right window to flash the flashlight in? But yeah.
Honey, look, there's a Canadian Frankenstein outside. Call the police. So they go for a walk and to look at the tree. And she'd wanted to go look at the tree with Will, and he'd never like noticed it before, had any interest, and he's like, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, too cold.
Yeah. So that's the first thing that Matt's like, let's go look at the tree. And it is a good tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bench by the tree that he's made and installed at the park so that you can sit somewhere and look at the tree. And it has this big plaque on it that he went to like Staples and had them made make a plaque.
I know. And she's like, ooh, we should sell these in our store.
The plaques or the bench?
The bench.
I thought the bench, but maybe it was the plaque.
Well, maybe it wasn't the plaque.
It's so big and not charming. And it's some Shakespeare quote I was bored.
It was a Merchant of Venice. I believe it was a Merchant of Venice quote. Lady knows her Shakespeare.
So did Aaron Sorkin write this? Write this movie? Wouldn't that be amazing if he did? Like under a pen name or something? We didn't know.
This is the bench where they have their heart to heart, and Matt says to Alice that you're making a big mistake with this Will guy.
Yeah. And they talk about the clock too. And
he knows about the history of the clock, the one that was in her beginning.
So there hasn't been any, like we got a lot of clock stuff in the beginning, but nothing about clocks. And then Though there was something about like the grandfather knew the exact minute, like 8:42 or something was the moment he saw the grandmother.
Yeah, he knew like his life was never going to be the same after 8:42.
But
yeah.
It's like they really started like thinking the clock is going to like magically affect something, make this mix up happen. And they abandoned that. And now, remember the clock? We got to bring that. Okay, there's 3 minutes left. We got to bring the clock back in. So after Matt tells Alice that she's making a mistake, she leaves. She goes back to Will's parents' house. And we see Matt is back at home and he's in like the wood shop or garage or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like working. He's making something.
He's got glasses on, working with tiny tools, fixing wood things, things that are rotating. Well, I wonder what he could be making.
So now it's Christmas Day and Alice is... She's missing Matt Mitchum's, the Billy Mitchum family. So she gives him a call and Matt sees the number and hands the phone to his mom. He doesn't want to talk to her and she asks to talk to him and the mom comes up with an excuse of why, you know, he's not there or something, even though he's standing right there. So she's feeling blue and she wants the new Mitchum family to get together and play Christmas messages. And she's very like forceful about this because Will's like, he doesn't want to. And she's like, no, we are doing this.
Yeah, she tells the mom, get up and go grab some paper and a bucket.
She's taking control.
Yeah.
So they play Christmas messages, which is really funny. Their Christmas messages. Like the other ones were just like sweet and kind of sappy. Now these are good.
Yeah.
The dad's like to Alice is like, creepy.
You're pretty easy on the eyes.
Yeah. And the mom's to the dad was like makes a good living and like Will's to the dad is like knows all the tax loopholes.
Yeah. Very cold and nothing heartwarming about any of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Their version of Christmas messages is just gross.
Mm-hmm.
So Alice opens her message from Will and it says is a millionaire. And she's like, what?
A multimillionaire.
So it turns out he's sold or he has a deal to sell her shop for $3.5 million. And I'm like, take it, sell it. Who cares? That store is gross. Your father would be fine with this. There's so much like good you could do. You're not doing any good for anybody with this junk shop. There's you could live anywhere you want to, do anything you want to, be as charming as you want to with $3.5 million.
And Will, creepy squash guy, yes, you know, he wants to make this deal for them because, you know, they're going to be married. Also, but he's thoughtful in that he sells it under, you know, without her knowledge, but he also procures another lease for another shop.
A bigger shop, a better shop on a better block.
Yeah, so it's not like she's losing her business. She could still have her business another a block away,
but
have $3.5 million as well.
Yes. This is the other thing
this
about this movie.
This is the real mix-up.
Yeah. The photo being up twice and then her, what is her problem with selling this? What is she sentimental about here? You can just move all the stuff that was your father's because I'm sure you haven't sold anything since he died to the new store. So Alice has to think about all this. She's upset. And so she goes for a walk. And when she's coming back, Grandpa is there.
Yeah.
He came to talk to her.
And Grandpa parks right in the driveway.
That's okay, right?
No, I think if you
pull up in front of the house.
Pull up in the front of the house. You don't park right in the driveway, blocking cars.
I was kind of surprised Grandpa drove, to be honest. Grandpa still had a license.
You're there essentially trying to steal a girl away from her fiance.
Yeah.
Park on the street. Don't park in the driveway.
Side note, the other thing about Grandpa was that, did you feel like Matt's dad was like the same age as the grandma? So he talks to her and, you know, she's thinking about what to do and Will comes out and he brings her inside into his room. This is when he gives her the lease and he apologizes for his behavior and for springing this on her. And so her gift from him is he's like, my family doesn't really do Christmas presents, but I have this for you and it's the lease to the store.
He says, be logical.
Yeah. And she's just like devastated by this. Did the grandpa bring the Matt's gift to her? Okay.
Yeah.
So she's got these two gifts. So grandpa brought a gift from Matt and she's got the lease and she opens the box from Matt and it's a clock. So she knows that's who I'm supposed to be with.
A clock that he made.
That he made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his little workshop with his glasses and those tiny little equipment.
And she cries. And she breaks up with Will.
When the grandpa gives the clock to her, he says relationships are all about timing.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is very important to the relationships.
Yeah. So, all right. Good job, writers. You brought the clock back into this. So when she breaks up with Will and she's crying and she looks at the clock and the clock stops.
Yeah, as we heard in the original clock story, part of the story involves the clock stopping and two lovers who weren't together. Yeah. Get to be together because the clock stopped.
So she runs to the tree and Matt's at the tree and they kiss.
I've been waiting here in the cold since Grandpa went over and parked in the driveway of Will's house.
And they're together now. So they after they kiss, it's not over yet. There's still 20 seconds left to fill up with something. So they're both, Matt and Alice, are working in the store. So Matt works there now. He's antique dealing. He's been like going to estate sales and buying things. He's like unpacking a box and he slowly pulls out a ring. And I was thinking like he was going to, this was like a proposal or something. This is like a more charming proposal. But no, they both just like look at it like, oh, he's like, do you know what this is? She's like, yeah, it's a Civil War era engagement ring or something like that. He's like, do you know how much this is worth? And whatever. Anyway, and then they say something about, but we'll never sell it. Ha, 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 ha. And then all of a sudden, a ton of clocks start chiming. All right, what's naughty and nice?
Nice is the Mitchum family. Mom.
The Matt Mitchum family. The Billy Mitchum family.
The grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom and Dad and Matt.
Yeah, they really welcome her into their home.
Yeah, and they don't want her to go away. They'll even show up to her new fiance's house uninvited.
A little dim-witted, though. They couldn't, like, they wouldn't be challenging the validity of this, though. It's also interesting to me that Billy is also in finance in New York. Like, that was, like, the only thing that was the same about the two of them.
A smarter family probably would have figured this out a lot sooner.
Naughty is that she won't sell the store. I mean, come on. You don't have to stay with Will, but make a life for yourself. So many opportunities. You can just make furniture forever.
Nope. They're still in that yellow store. Not selling anything.
All right. Well, that's it for another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. You can rate and review us on iTunes. We've been appreciating all the good reviews and 5-star ratings.
Yes.
I listen to so many podcasts and they do a good job of this and I'm not so slick with it. And we'll be back. We'll have one more episode this year and we're doing a special thing on Christmas too, which we'll post, and it will be on the air as well.
Fancy.
And it's not a Hallmark movie, so stay tuned for that.